Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I want to concentrate on verses 8 and 9. So would you follow as I read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once lived according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should live in them. Paul is making a direct, precise statement about our salvation, and we need to know and understand that truth. Now, let's just look at it this way. On the back of the bulletin, there's an outline for you to follow. What is the message? Paul, what did we just read? What we read, first of all, is that we are Christians only as the result of God's grace. Now, I don't think we need to spend a lot of time trying to define grace, because that's what we've been talking about for 2 years, and we know about that. What we need to review is the fact of where does it come from? What is the origin of grace? Well, we know that God initiates. No human being has a relationship with God, but that God initiated it. And you go clear back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, and we find them hiding from God because of their sin, and we find God came to them. They didn't come to God. They weren't seeking God. They were running from him. And that is true of every unbeliever who lived. What's going on in this world this morning? You drive to church and there are people going here and there. And they're doing things this morning. And the people are very busy, caught up in this godless, secular, humanistic world, this society. What's happening? They are running from God. Running from truth. They don't want to think about him. They don't want to think about eternal destiny. They don't want to think about their sin. They have to be busy doing something. And so God has to initiate. There would be no salvation if God didn't come to us first. So what John wrote is true. We love him because he first loved us. It's not only God initiating, it's God acting. God does something for the sinner who is dead in sin. And that acting is called regenerating. He makes us alive. And then it is God completing. You are saved. That's a complete, fulfilled transaction. Guaranteed at the cross and the resurrection. Has nothing to do with our life, whether we think we are good or bad. It has everything to do with what he did for us. Paul, what's your message? We are Christians only by the grace of God. Second question about the message or statement. We are Christians in spite of ourselves, not because of ourselves. Now, Paul made this very clear in verses 1 through 3, and I'd suggest a major exercise for you spiritually these coming days would be to read verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians 2 to understand your condition before you were a Christian. And to fully appreciate our salvation, we need to know that condition before and after. Now, notice he didn't stay in verses 1 to 3. He went on with good news. Verses 1 to 3 is not good news for us. It simply states the truth of our condition before salvation. And that condition is summarized in one word. Dead. Every unbeliever is a living death. Physically alive, spiritually dead. No relationship to God, does not want God, will not come to God. In fact, Romans says the unbeliever hates God, is the enemy of God. That's the condition he spells out here. Then he delineates it in different ways. But the thing that we need to know, that we were dead. Now, that is true of all unbelievers. God does not respond to anything in us. There's nothing about us that should cause God to initiate a relationship with us. It's pure grace. It's his own doing, his own decision, and his own act. Now, as we move on from verses 1 through 3, we look at 4 and read, but God, who is rich in mercy, has saved us. Now, how did that happen? We were dead, now we're alive. That's how you know you're a Christian. You are spiritually alive. The Bible is meaningful. You can understand it. You can appreciate it. You can love it. You can love the Lord. And you can love his people. And he has made you spiritually alive. So Paul is showing us before and after to help us understand this great salvation. And he says, by grace, you have been saved from spiritual death, from condemnation. And isn't it a wonderful thing, these two words in verse 4. But God, you were dead, you were condemned, you were headed for an eternal hell. But God. But is a conjunction bringing a connect, it's a connective word, but it brings a contrast. You were dead in sin, but God did something in grace. And isn't that a wonderful thing? That we are Christians in spite of ourselves because we have been saved. You know, the third thing that we could say is Paul's message is that Christians cannot boast. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, lest, L-E-S-T, is not a word we use very much. What does it mean? How could we read it? Verse 9, not of works, so that no one should boast. Now, no one should boast, but really, no one, no Christian can rightfully boast. We cannot. We have no right to boast. There's nothing of bragging or boasting in saying, I am a Christian, or I am a believer, because it's entirely of God's grace. It is not of ourselves. Paul says that very clearly. It's not of yourself. How have you become saved? Well, there's no credit to you, no credit to me. And if you are claiming merit or credit, you are not a Christian. It just can't be. You can't have that concept and have the salvation of the Lord because it directly contradicts the scripture. Boasting is excluded. There's no room for it in a Christian's life. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about the humility of a believer's life, of not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, so that we will not boast. So we're Christians as the result of the grace of God. We're Christians in spite of ourselves, and Christians cannot boast. Now, what are some areas that would cause us to get into boasting? What do we think about? Well, Paul states a couple of them here. The first, he says, works. Not of works, not by works. And we think of the Pharisees, who are the prime example of people claiming works. When they say, oh, I pray, I read the scripture, I go to the temple, I worship, I give to the poor, I do all these good deeds, and I am self-righteous, which is the opposite of being a Christian. So we would tend to boast over good works. It is excluded, cannot be done. Now, as we think about people then, in the non-Christian world, and they're all dead in sin, they have no relationship to God, but can they be good human people? Yes. There are some nice sinners, and there are some good sinners. They do nice things. They're kind, and they're gentle and helpful, and they care about their families, and they give, and they do a lot of nice things, but they're going to hell. And from a human viewpoint, they're the hardest to convert because you can't convince them that they need the salvation. That's just human. God has to do it for everybody, but pride of works really gets in the way. And we're not to have that. Now, another area of pride for us is this matter of faith. And here is the great controversy. I want to try to explain that as clearly as I can. The controversy among Christians about faith, or by grace, are you saved through faith? By is the cause. You are saved by grace. You are caused to be saved by grace. Through is the channel or the instrument which God uses to communicate that grace to us. For by grace, through faith, you're saved. That's true. The question is, and the issue is, from whence cometh faith? What is the origin of faith? And how do we get it? And why do we believe and some do not? Now, theologians and scholars have argued for years over this text. For by grace through faith you have been saved, and that not of yourself. That demonstrative pronoun refers to what? The issue is, does it refer to faith? Does it refer to grace? Does it refer to salvation? Now, there are those who say that it refers only to the grace, and they will acknowledge some amount of God's grace in our salvation, but that the faith comes from us. And that they stand by this truth that I believed, I made a decision to accept Christ, and that was my faith that did that. There are those who say no. That the word that, T-H-A-T, refers to the salvation, to the grace, and to the faith. It's the whole package. For by grace you have been saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Refers to the whole package. Now the controversy rages over the genders of the noun and the pronoun and the verbs. One is neuter, one is feminine, and so on. How do you tie these together so that some go by the grammar? Now, more recently, I've been reading from men I highly respect as competent biblical textual scholars who are saying, no, you can't prove that by the grammar. That whether it refers just to faith, just to grace, just to salvation. You can't prove it. But you can prove it another way. You prove it by the context. And this is a principle of interpretation that we must follow. We must be very careful about. If you want to find the truth, go to the context. And see what all of Ephesians is teaching. See what all of chapter 2 is teaching. See what all Paul has said in chapter 2. And in the first three verses, he explains, you're dead in sin. You don't have faith. It isn't yours. Doesn't come from you. Has to come from outside you, from God himself. Let's not turn our faith into works that we boast about and make it a system of works. We are not saved by our faith. We are saved through the faith that God gives us, which becomes real when he regenerates us. And you and I are here this morning responding. Wonderfully responding to say, I believe, yes, you can't take that from me. But it didn't come from me. It came from God. That's what makes it so good. If it came from me, I'll lose it. But if it comes from him, I've got it for him. So in the regenerating process, he creates faith in us. And sure, we respond. That's why we're here this morning. It's through faith. But it's the gift of God. And Christ is the cause of that. And so the origin is with God. the causes with God, and he causes us to exercise the faith that he gives us, and so we believe. So Paul is saying there's no room for boasting about works or about faith. Now, a fourth thing in Paul's message is that being a Christian is the result of God's work. And we read verse 10, it says, we are his workmanship. And you think about God doing that in life, and in eternity past, there were no human beings. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had to think about the creation and will create human beings. And this is the way we'll make them, with a body like ours and all the features that a human being has, and put within them a pumping station that pumps over 5,000 gallons of blood throughout the body every day, and all this. So he created life. That is skillful. That is wisdom. That is power. That is greatness in God's creation. But when we think of God taking that human being who has become dead in sin and fashioning that human into a creature who would worship him and love him, that is more awesome. It takes divine energy and divine work, and that's what God exercised toward us in initiating salvation, and he keeps it up every second of our life. If God was not working in us this morning, we would not be here. We would fall away. But because he is faithful and graciously working in us, he works. So God has worked. And a Christian is a person in whom God has worked and in whom God is working. And notice that it's a creation. In order to save human beings from sin, the Holy Trinity didn't say, well, we have to bring some improvement into their life. We'll make them a little better. We'll give some kind of lotion so they smell better. We'll doctor them up so that they look better. No. Christianity is not an improvement program. It's a creation program. He made us a new creation. That's what Paul says to the Corinthians. It's not improvement. It is new. So we thank Paul for his message that it is by grace through faith. And now we believe because God has given us faith. Now, an interesting thing in the translation is that in the old King James Version, it was stated this way, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, you take those words, are you saved? And if I said that to you this morning, are you saved? That'd be a question. Uncertainty. But the statement is, by grace, you are saved. That's the statement that declares the truth. You are saved. That's the message. And because you're saved, then act like it, then live like it, and rejoice in it, because it's certain and it's secure. And you cannot lose what God has given you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the great truth of your word in Ephesians 2 that gives us such a foundation to live that we will spend our lives serving you, glorifying you, loving each other, and serving each other. Lord, we pray this morning that you will move from heart to heart here in this place and cause this message to burn deeply into our hearts and cause us to respond in a way that honors you. May Jesus Christ be praised. Amen.